Has anybody here not ever heard God's voice? Nice. No hands went up. I was speaking about that one time, and I asked the question, has anybody not heard God's voice? And I couldn't believe how many hands went up, and these were saved people. And I thought, but if you're saved, that meant God's called you, or you wouldn't be saved. So you must have heard his voice to get saved. So at least, if you're saved at least once, you've had to hear his voice. But on that same night, as I was speaking, and somebody had mentioned about how God had asked them to do something. And I said, well, wait a minute. You said you never heard God's voice, but now you're saying God told you to do something. Well, it wasn't his voice as in like, I'm speaking, say now, but they knew it was of God. I said, that's still God's voice. We do what we do because God has called us to reach bikers. Oh, the psalm today, Psalm 105, 1-5 was read. The last verse on there says, remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he's pronounced. I feel that that whole psalm is really set up as we thank God for what he's done in our lives. He's doing things now and over and over, and we need to remember those. In the Old Testament, you go back, and it talks about telling the people, the kids and the grandkids of what God had done so they knew who their God was. I know in my own life, and I'm sure a lot of you, God has done a lot of things in your life. And that's the story that we have to go out to the public. In our case, a lot of times it's bikers, but it's wherever we go. Since today is Missions Month, I guess this whole month the church is talking. I noticed when I turned my head, I'm going to change this. Maybe I'll put it here and I'll see if that's... Because when I turn my head, I can hear it go quieter. So now let's see. Is that any better? Okay. So anyway, I want to talk about missions, but God's missions. So what I want to do is I'm going to go through the scriptures that talk about God's mission. Because I believe that when we get it in our heads that it is God's mission, then we'll want to be a part of it. And every one of us, Jamie, you know, when you're singing, sharing what God has done in your life, it's really as simple as that. Even when we go out to the fields and we're talking to a biker, to your neighbor, to the guy at the store, whoever we're talking to, it's about what God has already done. So the good news, I'm not going to preach on all the scriptures that I have here, not even actually the ones from Psalm, which is sort of good news and bad news, because whenever I've gone to a service and they read a scripture and then did a whole lot of talking but never mentioned the scriptures, I always feel like I missed something. And I wonder, like, maybe they have something more important to say than what the scriptures are saying. So forgive me for that. About 15 years ago, in around there, if you had said to me, what's most important, outreach or inreach? Inreach to me is the ministries we do within the church. I would have said outreach, hands down. But today, I would say they're of equal importance. Because, you know, if you go out and you reach somebody, and you bring them, you out there, you're loving them, you're telling them about what God's done, and then you bring them in here and you just want to put them to work to get out there. They need growth. They need to become mature. So they need that as well. So ministry all over, whether it's in the church or out of the church, are both important and both need to be done. I'm going to speak mostly today about outreach, obviously, because that's, you know, we're talking about the hub ride. What is it? It's about outreach. What we do as CMA is about outreach. Although we do also, I'll call it inreach if I can, with fellowship, and we have different events that we do together as a group, so that we're maturing each other. When I first started in the group, I was a brand new Christian. And the CMA was a big part of my upbringing to maturity. So I continue to thank them for that. The first scripture I want to mention is what we call the Great Commission, which is in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I'm not going to put these up. Some of the scriptures I will put on the overhead. What's up there now? Okay. I do have a clicker, so I guess I'm supposed to use that. I'll try to keep up with it, clean out my pockets here at the same time. And then also in Mark 16 and 15, I think most people are quite familiar with it, where he tells us to go in all the world and make disciples. You know, sometimes we take that as meaning go get people to say a prayer and then let them go on their own. But he says, make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I'll be with you to the ends of the age. So that's always a good thing. The other one was Acts 1 and 8. We can think of that one. Paul's Macedonian call. Acts 16, 6 to 10. I want to conclude that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. The last part of that scripture. So I'm going to run through these fairly quick. Matthew 24, 14, listen, it says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, and then the end will come. These scriptures are showing that, you know what, it's just not us here that God wants to reach. It's the whole world. It's everyone out there. It's these lost bikers. It's whoever is out there that is not a Christian, God wants to reach them. Whether they're Muslims or of another faith, without Christ, they are lost as people that don't know him at all. Like, there's a lot of groups out there that serve a God, but not our God. I remember at the gym where I was going not long ago, I have a Muslim friend there, and he says, I don't know why there's all this arguing between Muslims and Christians. He says, we serve the same God. I said, no, we don't. Says, well, he says, we accept Christ. I said, yeah, but do you believe that Christ is the Son of God? Well, no. Well, do you believe that he died on the cross? Well, no, God wouldn't let us, if he is the Son, God wouldn't let him die on the cross. Then, if he didn't die on the cross, there is no resurrection. How is that the same God? You know, so people have this feeling that they follow God or they follow Christ, but he's not the same Christ that we have come to believe in and that we follow. And that's quite important when you start stripping down the gospel. Well, then you have the gospel according to Jack instead of according to Christ. I think we want that. Is this anybody's water? Is mine? All right. I look in here, make sure nobody spit in it. All right, good. Oh, okay, good. Thank you. I appreciate it. I was once talking about sin. I used to call them rabbit trails. My wife now calls them squirrel trails because you're on one and then you scoot off over here. I was preaching about sin. And I was trying to talk about allowing sin in our life, but really not allowing it was the message. And I said, it's sort of like sin, once it's there, it's hard to get rid of. I said, it's like if you take this water. Now, I'm thinking that most, maybe some of you, okay, maybe one of you, would be willing to drink this after I did. But if I was to take it and spit in it, you know, and then ask you, would you like a drink? Most of you would say no. So if I was to take a spoon and scoop out the spit, throw that away, I'm thinking I'd be the same answer. You know, sin is like that in our lives. We got to try to keep it out of there as best we can. I know it's impossible, but I think the scripture talks about not allowing it as much as it, you know, compares to you. So if you have that choice, go that way, not towards it. Anyway, that's not in my notes. I just thought I'd throw that out there since God put it on my heart. But God places a high priority on missions. Ever since sin entered into the world, God promised that he would send us a redeemer. He said that that Satan would strike at the offspring of Eve's heals, but he would crush Satan's head. Right from the get-go, God was into the mission business. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything we have, including ourselves, belongs to God. I think we need to remember that. Everything out there is God's. You know, we threw a few bucks in the offering this morning. You know, you're not giving of your own. You're giving what God has entrusted you with. And I think when we come to realize that everything, you know, I remember saying that to somebody, well, you know, like, you know, you're giving back to God, and they say, oh, I worked for my money. Who gave you the ability? God's given us the ability to make the money. He's given us the ability to reach these people. He's given us the ability to drive, to walk. I do a lot of things. I have rental properties. I do all my own work, whether it's electrical, plumbing, painting, everything. I've never gone to school to learn it. God has given me the abilities. I fix my own motorcycle. I fix cars. Never gone to school. God's given me the abilities to do it. And when we start realizing what God has done in us, it sure makes it easier to reach out to those out there, even people that we don't know. Into the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10:26, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it is His. You know, I think it's so important that we take this stuff and we drill it in there. It's God's, it's God's, it's God's. When you start giving back, when you realize, you know, I guess God, maybe God should have done it. Pastor Steve, what do you think? Instead of giving us 100% and saying, you know what, give 10% back plus your other offerings that you give, maybe He should have kept the 90 and gave us the 10. I don't know. That would probably work. I think it would work. But fortunate, I'm not God. The covenant that He made with Abraham, verses 1 to 11 introduce the story, sets the stage, and then in verse 12 he says, God takes a grand step forward in the story by choosing Abraham. I will bless those that bless you and curse one who curses you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And of course, that has come to pass through Jesus Christ for us. Now that we have accepted Him, we fall under that same blessing. Those that have not yet accepted Him are still under the curse. You know, it's not a good place to be. How it's so easy for us to just to move. I can ask you, are you blessed of God? Amen. Amen. I see a few heads, one little hand saying, oh, I don't know yet, too young. That's okay. One day you will. Let me see. Let's see this. All right. See if I got the right one here. Oh, wow. What did I miss? I missed one already. So, oh, there it is. Was that up there? Oh, it was. Oh, you know what? When I folded the paper, maybe? This thing. Oh, really? Oh, man. Oh, I'm French. Listen, I'm talking on the phone, and I'm giving directions. You got to go over down here and back up the other way, you know. So I talk with my hands. People, I'm talking to people sometimes, and they're standing there, and I'm talking away, and they're like, oh, whoa, whoa. Keep your hands in your pocket. But anyway, okay. Now, I'll tell you another little story. I was preaching at a United Church one time, and I got there just in time to preach, and they put the mic on, it was turning on, and they did a song. So I'm up there singing through the mic. You don't want me on your worship team. So the next time I came back and I had the mic, and I'm there and I'm fiddling with it and I'm trying to reach to shut it off, and the guy up in the sound booth, he says, what are you doing? I said, well, we're going to sing. I'm going to shut this off. He says, don't worry, I've already shut you off. So I know that I wasn't called to preach. Revelation 7 and 9 says, I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They're talking about those of us that have come to Christ. A great multitude. See, I don't know about you, I like reading the end of the book first. My wife says, why do you want to do that? I said, I want to know how it ends so that I know whether it's worth reading the rest of the book. But she likes the mystery of waiting. So now you know in the last book, if you've never read Revelation, that it talks about this great multitude. Those are through Abraham's seed. Those are through us who have come to know Christ. So between the promise in Genesis and the record of fulfillment in Revelation, the Bible is bursting with other scriptures that talk about God as a missional God. So again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I'm just going to highlight some of them. So let's see. There's Exodus 5 to 6. The Lord told Moses to say this to the people. He says, now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now he set up one tribe apart from all the peoples of the world as priests. Sound familiar? First Peter 9 and 10. Now, who's he talking to? Us, believers. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. There's still a lot of people out there that have not yet received mercy. They have not yet received Christ. They're still under the curse. If they were to die today, they would go to hell for all eternity. Not a good place to be. After crossing the Jordan, Joshua tells them, that the Lord stopped the flow of the Jordan so that they could go across. And then afterwards, it says in the scripture, it says, God did this so that all peoples of the earth might know the power of their God. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about God doing things so those that are not with him will still know his power. They will know that the God of the Christians is a strong God. And hopefully that through us, they will also know that he is a merciful God and a loving God. After Solomon finished the temple, he said that the temple had been constructed so all peoples on the earth may know God's name. Do we do things so that our neighbors will know our God? I had a guy, again at the gym where I was going, a guy that I knew was not a Christian. We talked many times. One day he comes in, he didn't want to talk anymore about religion. His next door neighbor, who claimed that she was a Christian, branches had fallen. I can't remember. I think it's from his tree onto her lot. And she actually had her lawyer send him a letter to come and pick up those branches. Now, I don't know if you know this, but if this is my property and the fence is here and I have a tree, and that branches from that tree fall onto your property, they're now yours. If yours fall on mine, they're now mine. Like, whatever hangs into your property line is technically yours. It's kind of crazy. The roots are still over there. But she had this big fight with him, and he shoveled her driveway, he cut her grass. He was doing all these things that maybe we might do as a Christian, and the first time something went wrong, she stabbed him. He said to me, if that's what I have to become a Christian, I would sooner go to hell. I hope none of your neighbors have ever said that to you. What do we got? 1 Peter. I said that, so I'll go right on. Okay. Oh, actually, no, I didn't. I can go back. Pastor Steve taught me how to go back. So scriptures are loaded with phrases that speak about God's name being known. Phrases like, to the ends of the earth, all nations, the whole earth, the peoples, and all the earth. The prophets repeat the affirmation that the world, not just Israel, is God's focus. Isaiah 45:22 is a great one that says, turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. All people. People that you can influence. And hopefully that you will. Now, Jonah. Is anybody like Jonah? Jonah's probably one of my favorite prophets. He's probably the worst missionary that's recorded in the Bible. He gets a call from God. God says, go to the great city of Nineveh and say to the people, the Lord has seen your terrible sins. You are doomed. Problem was, he didn't like the Ninevites. He did not want to do. Now, the reason he's such a great prophet is because he trusted in God's mercy. He said, if I go to those people, you're going to save them. They don't deserve to be saved. Anybody in your life that doesn't deserve to be saved? Can I tell you, I was divorced and remarried. I came to the Lord after I was divorced. The first person I led to the Lord was my ex-wife. Now, probably if I hadn't come to the Lord, I didn't really know about heaven and hell, really. If there was a heaven, her being there probably not wouldn't have been my first choice, because that, you know, would change the whole dynamics. But now that I'm a Christian and she did accept the Lord, she's not really living for him right now, but that's another story. But we get along great. It's amazing what the Lord can do in people's lives. Some of those people out there that are in your influence, that you're thinking heaven would be a better place if they're not in it. If they come to know the Lord and the Lord gets a hold of them and changes them, he's changed you, he's changed me, he's probably changed every one of you, they might not be a bad person to have there. And guess what? We don't really get to choose who should go and who doesn't get to go. God says he's the one that calls them. But for some reason, he likes to use us. I was on a ship, or a boat, I guess, ferry going across from Trinidad to Tobago. And I would gone for, it'd be sort of like your big room set up over there, you know. And I was sitting there, and there's somebody else way down in the other corner, and I was eating my lunch. I was quite happy being alone. Some guy comes down, sits right at my table, and he says, I'm running from God. I said, have you never heard the story about Jonah? Being on a boat is not a good place to be running from God, you know. So anyway, but we talked for a while, and I prayed for him and that. He never jumped overboard, and the boat never went down, so all was good. But I read somewhere that Jonah's story betrays God's call for us to get our hearts in line with his love for all nations. I didn't write it. I just copied it. But all peoples, and again, like I say, I just want to go through these scriptures to point out to you that God cares about missions. How, you know, they talked about calling his people to be involved. Attractions, nations to their temple. Going out to the nations. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave us the Great Commission. And Matthew, going on again, I should have had the guy back there push the button. Matthew 28:19-20 says, therefore go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. It says, amen. When you know what amen means to me? It's not the end of the prayer, it means let it happen. You put it now into God's hands, you're expecting him to do something. Do you ever feel unequipped to, you know, I sometimes switch the word to evangelize to witness. Same thing. You're witnessing. But you know, this ended with a promise. He says, I'll be with you to the ends of the earth. When we go out somewheres, we go knowing that God is with us. You know, we've been to some rallies that, well, probably Christians shouldn't go to, but God protects us from what is there. Sometimes He covers our eyes that we don't see what is going on. I remember the one event that we were going to, and I'm looking, I'm thinking, you know, wow, I've been coming here for a lot of years. Now, I actually used to go to the same event before as a Christian and party, and then after a Christian, I went there to try to witness to these people about bringing them to Christ. And I was thinking, wow, like, since we've been coming here and praying over the place, like, this place has cleaned up. A buddy of mine came, he's not a Christian, and he says, this place is so filthy, I'll never come back. I'm thinking, wow, why am not? I'm not seeing this. I see the people, I know that God loves them, but I'm not seeing what he was seeing. And I think God blinds our eyes from seeing some of the stuff that is going on in these different events. So you don't have to worry about doing it alone. He's always with you. You know, back in the day, if you wanted to get into missions, they say as a missionary or evangelist, a lot of it was done by what? You went somewhere. I remember actually at one of the churches, actually a Baptist church that I went to not long after I started. I actually got called into ministry before I started going to church. A little bit odd. Maybe I'll speak a little bit more of that in a minute, but I just want to say that people would go to other countries to witness. Well, what's God doing now? He's sending them here. I don't know about around Wyoming. We've got Syrians, we have Muslims, everybody's moving in. Maybe it's because we weren't going. Maybe God says, you know what, I'm going to send them to you. But there's still opportunities to us to speak to them. You just sung a song there, I love to tell the story. Psalm 105:5, remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he's pronounced. Each one of you have a story. I remember somebody saying to me, they're probably in their 50s at the time, and they said, I don't have a testimony. I said, what do you mean you don't have a testimony? He says, I was brought up in a Christian home, I accepted Christ at a young age, and I've never strayed. Man, I wanted to slap him. I thought, isn't that the best testimony? Like, even after I came to God, there's times that I've walked away from God, and I said, Lord, take away my free will. I don't know if you believe in free will, or, you know, God makes you do things, but whatever it is, I want it, God, to control me 100%. Jesus says I did nothing outside of the Father's will. And I thought, Lord, that's me. That's what I want to be able to say those words. I do nothing outside of your will. So far, it's not happening. But listen, you've got a story. Are you willing to share it? I know some of you are. I know some of the guys at the back there that I know, they're willing to share it. I know Jamie is. He just said it. Well, I'm thinking Pastor's up here quite a bit, so I'm sure he shares a lot. But, you know, it doesn't take much. I'm going to take the next few minutes. I don't even know, is there a clock? I like a church that has no clock. I gave my phone to my wife. I'll tell you a little story after. Remind me to tell you about the airplane after I'm done, because I made a mistake in telling that too soon one other time. So let me tell you a little bit about CMA, how I got involved in it. So anyway, let me start with CMA. CMA actually was started by a Baptist preacher. Back in the early 70s, he had a teenage son and he was an itinerary preacher, so he was gone here, gone, he was gone everywhere. But his son, you know, he was getting to that age now, we're getting kind of restless, and he wanted to do something with his son. So he thought if he could get a couple of motorcycles when he's at home, him and his son could hang out. We have any 16-year-olds in here today? 16, 17? You know, just think about it. Here's your dad comes to you and says, son, maybe daughter, I was thinking I'd like to get a motorcycle. And one for you, too. And when I'm home, we can ride out. And his son's probably thinking, wow, that means the other, you know, 10 days of every couple of weeks or 20 days of the month, whatever the amount was, I get to ride the bike without you, Dad. Sounds like a good idea. So anyway, him and his son, they get the motorcycles and they go to a secular event. And while he was there, he seen a need for people. These people that did not know Christ, a lot of them had not even heard of Christ. So he started praying that God would send somebody to these people. Now I'm thinking you all know who he sent, who God sent. Him. So his idea was just, you know, him, and now he had a couple of friends, and all he wanted to do was, we'll go, you know. And then one day somebody called him and says, guess what? I started a chapter. He's like, I don't want chapters. Well, now they're in about 128 countries around the world. What we don't do, I think it's always important to realize we're not a church in of ourselves. All our members have to belong to a church and be active in the church. We don't replace the church. CMA, it's an outreach, evangelicals. We go to different places wherever we can and speak about Christ. Through what we call friendship evangelism, much like the hub ride, people come into the whatever's going on. We kick tires, we talk about the bikes, listen for opportunities to share Christ. Sometimes it may just be praying for something that what's going on in their lives. Just different things. We encourage conduct public worship and Christian evangelistic crusades among motorcyclists mostly. Proclaim and teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Encourage Christian fellowship among motorcyclists and to improve the image of persons engaged in motorcycles. Like I said, it's much the same way that you do the hub ride. You have here, difference might be is that you have people come here to you and you go out, fellowship with them, talk with them. Hopefully you invite them to church. Oh, I'm not seeing anybody. Yeah, I've done that. So next summer, you have people from the neighborhood coming out. You're talking with them. See, at an event like that, they get to see that you're normal people. You know, I don't want to say anything bad about the Pentecostals because, you know, we have one, at least one in here, you know. They're not hanging from there. So we're good. But, you know, people think Christians are weird, and we are weird, but we're supposed to be. Well, the Bible says peculiar. We're a peculiar people, right? So, but people think we're really weird and really strange, and looking around, I can see that they're right. But, you know, that's okay. Looks aren't everything. I told them, I don't think there's any such thing as ugly people. So if you're looking at me, you know, change your mind. There's no such thing as ugly people. And if you look at people, I don't care how ugly that somebody else might think they are, you look at them and you'll find something beautiful about them. Right? And if you've never done that, I challenge you to do that. Get out there and see how lovely these people are. And God says they're lovely in His eyes. He's made them the way they are. And He loves them. And He chooses them. I'd like to just share, how much time do I have left? What time's lunch? What time's that cake? When people start leaving. I had a pastor that, he was our evangelist. And he had gone to a church. And the church, they said to him, they said, listen, they had a grandfather clock at the back. He says at 12 o'clock, that clock, dong, dong. He says, if you're not done, don't worry. He says, the people will just leave. And he, about half the congregation left. I got to tell you this here, and this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. These are just another rabbit trail. I was preaching at this small church, and I normally preach about 45 minutes. So I think we still got about a half an hour left. So anyway, I come into the church, pastor, they come up to me and said, pastor, we've got something going on a little bit later this afternoon. Is there any way you could preach longer? Once in my life. That was it. But nobody else has ever had to do that. I just now take the advantage and I just preach longer. So anyway, so how did I get involved in CMA? Back in about 1994, I had accepted Christ in 87. I always say I had fire insurance. I wasn't going to church. My life changed drastically. A lot of things in my life changed drastically. I won't bother going into right now. But I still wasn't going to church. I read the Bible. I got saved reading the Bible. Actually, I was reading where Nicodemus had come to Christ. And he said that we know that you're of God because man couldn't do the things that you've done if God wasn't with him. And what did Jesus tell him? He said, unless you're born again. You'll never see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. They talk, you know. And he says, you could never enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. First time I heard God's voice, he says, if this man and what it stands for is on his way to hell, then where are you going? Well, that was a real eye-opener because, like I said, I don't remember praying, asking, but I prayed, giving thanks. And I read the Bible, obviously. I was reading the Bible at that time. But I didn't know how not to go to hell. I realized at that moment that if I were to die, I would go to hell. But, you know, the scripture says that of itself, it says that scripture is foolishness to those that are perishing. So reading how to go to heaven in the Bible, like I know it's out there, you have Romans 10, 9 and 10, I'll list it there. But believing who Christ is and accepting him in your heart and confessing that, you're saved. I didn't know that. I probably had read it, but I didn't understand it. It didn't sink in. But anyway, TV evangelist, so I accepted him. 6.5 years later, a girl that I was going out with, I thought, this was, 7 or 8 years after my divorce. I did a list. Yeah, before you guys get married, those in here that are married, you do a list before you got married. Maybe these are a checkoff, for the ladies. Yeah, I want a guy that doesn't snore. Good luck on that one. And all these other things. I did that. And I went through the list and I checked off good, good, good. Don't like this, don't like this, don't like this. A few more goods and dislikes. So I thought, yeah, maybe I could see spending my life with this girl. And then she dumped me. So I guess she had the same list. I didn't make it. So anyway, there was that. And then my buddy, who I rode with, at that point in time, it had probably been for about the last 12 years, sold his motorcycle and bought a boat. So I knew a guy that rode with CMA, and I called him, and he introduced me. Actually, Al Hawkins is sitting right back there. And Al invited me out for a ride, which was the Run for the Sun ride. And I went on that. And while I was there, a guy and his, I don't know if it was his wife, girlfriend, but he comes up and he starts asking me, he says, if I were to follow or accept your God, he says, would I have to quit drinking? And he had a beer in his hand. And I said to him, I went up, I actually approached him and I start, oh, there's a thing here. Oh, I like that. I start hitting on his chest. I said, if God was to touch your heart, I said, you would quit drinking and not even give it another thought. Now, I'll tell you what's amazing about that. I was still drinking at the time. But yeah, this voice that I'm hearing coming through my lips is telling him that God would change that. So, 2.5 hours, I shared the Lord with that couple. I left there with him to go back to his campground. He had invited me back for a beer. I didn't actually have the beer, not that it matters. I get there, and he says, the first thing I want you to do is save this guy. There's a guy down by the fire, sitting there, campfire, had a bottle of whiskey with about this much left in the bottom. And I said, that's not my job. That job was taken almost 2,000 years ago. And all these times that I'm answering questions, I'm looking over my shoulder, and I'm wondering, who is talking? Listen, I hadn't started going to church yet. And God used me to go through this. I left that. As a matter of fact, when I went back, some of the CMAers, they said, what did you say to those guys? I said, I don't know, but I know it was good. And at that time, I totally committed my life to the Lord. I said, this is what I want to do for the Lord. That was in 1994. And obviously, I'm still doing it. I want to tell you one more thing about Jonah. I just have to back up here a little bit here. Listen. And so if you're stuck, when you go out to your neighbor and you're stuck and you just don't know what to say to them, just remember these words that Jonah told the people. It says, the Lord has seen your terrible sins. You are doomed. See you later, buddy. And you're on your own. You planted the seed. That's all you got to do. John 16:12 says, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it right now.
Let's pray.
Lord God, I just give you thanks and praise, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for what you want to do through your people. We thank you, Lord, that you want to reach not just those that are trim and proper, but those, Lord, that are down and out, those that want nothing to do with you. Your heart is still to reach them. I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to use us, Lord, and that for anyone that is here today that is willing to take that step, Lord, to reach out to their neighbor, their friends, their families, just whoever it is, Lord, that you would put it upon their heart, Lord, where your heart is, that you would use them, that you would give them the strength and the courage to be willing to reach out. Just be with us this day, Lord. Guide us. Help us, Lord, to speak words that are uplifting. Help us to preach hope that we have. Help us to preach what we have already received from you that we can give to others. May you be glorified in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.